Yeah, so this is my first Tuesday. And it's definitely less crowded on Tuesdays than Wednesdays.
The office or?
The trains.
Train?
Like, yeah.
Your commute
metro.
Was quieter?
Oh, right. I don't hardly train ever, but it was busier than last time I took it.
Well, I take a 747 train from my hometown. And by that time, the parking lot, the $5 a day parking lot is usually packed. So I just walk from my house. It's a mile.
Yeah.
Get my steps in.
$5 a day, man.
Was that?
$5 a day.
It's like 5 or 10.
It's still, I think it's $1.25, $1.50 or something like that down.
It was much more expensive before COVID, and then they turned everything into the $5 price. But I think they got rid of all the monthly people, like the people that paid like $200 a month to have a assigned spot. But
yeah, and anyway. That's the lot that's like right there, like
right by it.
Yeah,
right there.
I'm amazed. Like so talking commute. We were a little early getting to the train this morning, but it was very peaceful. I was like, wow, Tuesdays and Wednesdays are very different days. But by the time, because we were a little early,
yep.
By the time the train showed up, no, everything had filled in. We were like,
oh, I get a seat every time because, you know, I'm at the busiest stop on our line. So it goes Aurora 59, Naperville. And then we stop at Lyle, Downers Grove, and Expressen from Downers Grove.
And the Downers Grove people, the second ones, certainly, they don't get a seat.
No, everyone gets seats.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Except on Wednesdays, maybe. But
No, it's not been... I've had seat every once in a while on the way home.
Yeah.
It's crowded.
Yeah, exactly.
It seems like that.
Everyone wants the 5 o'clock train or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, right there's after they get off.
Yep. There's a big rush at that point. But yeah, it hasn't been too bad. So how have you been, Dan? By the way, we're the Worldwide IT Guys. I'll start this. So what are we?
We're doing
it's podcast 282, Dan. If you didn't know, we've done 282 of these things, or this is the 282nd. And I asked him a question as he's eating, which is perfect. And who eats on mic? Who does this? My fault.
I usually turn my camera off on calls if I'm eating, but I can't not see Dan here.
I'm well.
You're well?
Yeah.
Good.
I will be going in for for those who don't know, I had a big CE battle a few years ago, 2.5 years ago. And they're gonna scan me on Thursday, and if that's all good, then I will be 2 years cancer-free, and I will go to a reduced observation schedule. So instead of every quarter, I'll go in every 6 months.
That's excellent.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah.
That is terrific.
And then I think at 5 years, they just say, you're good, you're out of danger, and don't bother us anymore.
Well, congratulations. Glad to hear that. I know it was a bumpy ride.
And what else happened recently, work-wise, that you and I talked about and Steve talked about?
I am 25 years with the Big W.
25 years he's worked for this company.
25 years. You got a bag of potato chips, I see, sent to you from HR today?
Yeah. They spare no expense. So
we have to find a way to take Dan out. Right. Drink here. I don't know what everybody's plans are today, but at some point we have to make sure that we get Dan.
Right.
I also have it on record that one of Dan's former HR people is in town today. So I don't know if we're going to get him, but Michael is bouncing around here somewhere today and tomorrow. So
Is hopefully, that why? Okay. Hopefully Dion's going to want to go out big tomorrow then.
Well, no, Michael's flying out tomorrow, so it's not, you know, he's...
Dion always wants to go out big, no matter what the...
I was going to ask, so...
How was your date last week?
How was last week?
So I have not... Last week when I hung out with Dion was the first time I had any alcohol in like 3 weeks. And I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to give it another go, see how it goes. And it had the same effect on me that it's been having in my old age, where it just makes me tired. And,
yeah, me too.
So I only had... We had two beers at lunch, and then we went to that Tiger Lone Wolf, and we had a couple drinks there, and I was like, I'm done. Like, I can't, you know. So he's like, yeah, we said our goodbyes. He went to another place we often go to. Kind of by himself, but
oh,
I was
okay.
Like, I can't do it anymore. I guess maybe I could have switched to NAs, but I also had work to do.
I got a text from him as he was, I think, either alone at that bar or on his commute home, and he was asking me, you know, why aren't you here? Why are you never here?
Oh, well, you're probably going to get more of those now that he's probably met. Basically, he always had me as like a wingman that would be down for more drinks. And it's like, well, if this guy isn't going to do it, you know, who do I have
Who's
now?
Helping? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's his big day out. And yep. So we don't get him today. He's going to be angry with us for doing this, I have a feeling, because without him. But
who cares?
But we can pretend. We can pretend one tomorrow and just say. Yep.
We can pretend.
We're just talking here. Yeah. Everyone share.
No, I'm recording. No, really.
No,
fine.
Dion.
This story that you just posted, do you mind if I change the subject for a second?
Go
this
ahead.
Story is
Jumping.
Hilarious if you get the full details.
Is it what I posted?
Yeah, so that Amazon is phasing out its walkout shopping.
Yes.
Did you hear how it was also exposed how they actually implemented the technology that everyone thought was AI? They never claimed it was AI.
Oh, it's
but they
not
allowed
AI.
That belief
yeah,
to...
Yeah, sure.
It turns out, or they thought it was near field. We thought it was all something super, super technical, right?
They had like a million cameras.
They had a million cameras that were being watched by like a million people in India.
Uh-huh.
And they were sending signals to like one security guard who's like behind a closed door, like, hey, they're stealing an aisle 4 or this is the person's bill and whatnot. But all these like emerging technologies that we thought they were using, false. It was cameras and offshore
there
staffing.
There are lights,
yeah,
like spotlights and cameras all over the place. I mean, there's cables all over the ceiling. So that one day I was at the dealership getting my cart, and I was talking with Doug and Romy, and I was like, we're talking about this Amazon Fresh. They've never seen one before. Grocery store.
Yep.
And I was like, well, there's one on my way home. I'll stop by there, and I'll take pictures for you. Like, I was in the parking lot, like, Wang, that's a parking lot. And I was taking pictures of the parking lot. And it's just a bunch of cameras. That's all this.
Yeah, well, they claim that there were sensors on the shelves, too.
No, there were not.
They claimed all that, but none of it was, and maybe they were, none of it were being yours. It says, like, here, this is from Business Insider. Amazon Just Walkout technology always had a secret ingredient. Roughly 1,000 workers in India who reviewed every item that you picked up, set down, when you walked out of the stores with it.
That is amazing. I didn't hear the backstory, but I heard
that's so funny.
Mechanical Turk kind of approach to life, right?
Yeah, it's like a Warner Brothers cartoon where they would always open up the device and then it was like a duck, like spinning wheels or something like that.
Yeah, but this was like 20 years ago that... Somebody came up with a way to say, yeah, we're going to do this through this technology.
Well, they
had
really
just farming it off to Indian groups.
Well, they had like the small like shops, like they had the Mart.
Mm-hmm.
But then like the big actual grocery stores that are real grocery stores that use the same technology, the same offshore team, just bigger team to do it.
Did you guys see, I don't know if I posted it to our channel, but there's I think it's a dumpling store in New York City that is trying offshore cashiers.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I saw
this.
So it's cooked by on-prem staff, but I don't know. Maybe they don't speak English or they just
can't afford it. It's cheaper with inflation.
Yeah, so they have this. But it was funny. It was the New York Post. So the New York Post is always like conservative and angry about something. And the theme of that whole article in the Post was they were pissed that an offshore cashier was asking for a tip. Because like when you hit pay, it suggests a tip. And they're like, what? Now we're tipping offshore people? You know.
Well, the reason is, they said, is because New York's minimum wage rules.
Yes, exactly.
The minimum wage in New York or whatever state it was is so high.
It's $20 an hour correct. In the city of New York.
So they're outsourcing it.
So, it's okay if I give 20% on that and it goes to that person that actually served me.
And they said the company wasn't clear about who it's going to as well.
Sure it was not clear about that.
Right.
I'm positive they went, great, we'll give you a tip on whatever your wage is.
We'll make sure to relay your gratitude to that employee.
So I hate when industries use the same software as like a restaurant.
Okay.
So like I think I had my ducks cleaned in our house. Mm-hmm. And I went to pay. It was like, I'm just going to say $1,000.
Okay.
And then it comes up with, do you want to give a tip? 20%, 25%? I'm like, I'm not going to pay 25% on a $1,000 handyman to clean my air ducts.
Yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. That one I think is over the line. Tipping
totally.
For
yeah.
like those sorts of services. Mm-hmm. If you had... And I don't know, maybe you guys all do, but we don't have a cleaning service or anything.
No,
but
no way. That's
if you did, what would you tip? Would you do like a, look, we're going to give you a holiday tip, kind of like we talked about this, right? Mm-hmm. Do you give holiday tips for people who service
the mailman?
The mailman.
And the newspaper guy.
Yeah,
kid.
You get a newspaper, all those sorts of things. We do that, right? So mm-hmm. I would think that's how I would tip a cleaning staff.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm paying for a specific service, like
haircut.
I want to have my lawn aerated or something ridiculous like that, right? I'm not going to tip the guy. It's like
no,
I'm paying you to
not.
Do the job.
No, exactly. Yeah.
So duct cleaning, no.
Yeah.
No
tip.
Do you have a cleaning service?
Yeah,
you,
and we give them it's this Polish lady that does our cleaning. We give her a seasonal
okay,
a
so it's
Christmas
not
tip, and we actually bumped up our pay just because we're like, you're doing a better job, that yeah. You deserve more. But yeah, I don't. My general rule of thumb is if I don't think the industry has actually set up the employees' pay to be dependent on tip, I don't tip. So like, obviously you have to tip bartenders and waiters
correct.
And waitresses.
Yeah.
But I don't like. Like, usually when I buy, like, if I go to a sandwich shop, like a Jimmy John's or something like that, I usually don't tip.
Yeah. So, my son and I go to the same stylist barbershop
mm-hmm.
for our haircuts, and they're cash only, so I'm sure everything's on the table.
Yeah.
But the more hair she takes off my kid's head, the higher the tip she gets. I mean, and I told her, I'm like, if you shave his head right now, $100
cash. A lot of money in that for you.
Oh, yeah, totally.
My tip is usually proportional to how annoying my kids were. if they're real annoying, I throw a big fat tip down. If they were well behaved, I usually just tip industry standard.
Yeah, I have a good friend that I've reconnected with from high school. He works in the entertainment mm-hmm. industry, so he's a big tipper because he knows.
Oh yeah, sure.
It's going to come back to him. He works at Lou Malnati's. He's a manager, and he's like, well, if I tip someone here, they're going to tip me.
Yep.
Right
yeah.
back at yeah, my yeah. store.
I just was confronted downstairs with the tip menu, and this was after I used my phone or attempted to use my phone to pay. And it said, we don't accept this device. And I'm sorry, it's an Android
what?
Pixel. And it's like, okay. So I got out a credit card. But then it's, it's just, it's somebody behind a register saying, yeah, that didn't work. Try this. Try something else.
And you're supposed to tip him for that.
And it's like, I'm not going to tip you, sorry.
Yeah.
Android
wouldn't work? That's weird.
Yeah, that's very strange.
Maybe I have an old app or...
Who knows?
Yeah, because there was a message that's saying, we're phasing out this app. And it's like, okay, well, I know Google changes names of things all the time, but update me then.
Yeah. That store downstairs won't accept cash either because I tried to pay cash last week and they're like, we can't do cash.
So we have right by Steve's H Mart by my house, we have one of those like sushi conveyor belt restaurants.
Uh-huh.
Those are cool.
Where you basically just, pick the stuff you want, put your mm-hmm. plates in, and it shows like your score. And if you get like 12 plates, you get a, badge. But they deliver everything with robots
mm-hmm.
in the store. So it's like, do I tip? The robot.
I don't think I tipped when I was there. I I don't know if you had the same layout, because I've heard there's multiple kinds of layouts, but the one I was at, your booth next to it is like a conveyor belt that runs along the whole restaurant.
Yes, you have to get into the front of the conveyor belt to get the good stuff. Because it has to go past everyone else before it gets to you.
Yeah, that is true. But they were putting stuff on it, like,
oh no!
I mean, it was kind of crazy. The one I was at, it was busy too. But it was almost like when you see Santa's workshop at Christmas time or something. Like they were just like putting like just loading up this conveyor belt right, with thousands of choices.
I always wondered about those conveyors. They're fun, but I always wondered, like, how much should I trust this?
It's not the highest quality.
Yeah,
I mean, if you go to a sit-down sushi place and you talk to your chef, and we have another place that, you know, Trish and I go to, and we sit down and we share a bottle of sake like this big, and we just sit at the bar and we tell him to fix our stuff.
Yeah,
we don't order.
Yeah,
but it's going to be $150 for two of us.
Oh yeah.
In this place, you know, lunch place with the little conveyor belt, I can get out of there with, you know, a green tea and 10 plates for $40.
Yeah. Totally agree. It's definitely more economical. So we've had some events go on, I think, since we've spoken. I don't think we've spoken about anything since the eclipse happened. And did you guys see the glass of beer that I posted?
That was fantastic.
What a great idea. I can't believe we missed this window of opportunity.
And was that your wife that did that, or she saw it somewhere?
No, she shared it. She saw it somewhere.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was cool.
Really good. Dark beer with the eclipse behind it. We missed this beautiful opportunity. I was sorry to see that. But it did. So my wife did go down to the totality, and she's done this the second time. She talked about how she didn't have a horizon view the last time and didn't realize what ends up happening with the horizon view. You know, you end up with a full sunset, like 360-degree sunset when that happens. It was an amazing picture that she shared, but can you imagine what that's like? So where were you guys? I was at home on a phone call.
I was too, and I was on the same call as you.
I think I was on that call, too. I went mobile and walked down to my wife's daycare because they had...
That's right.
They had glasses down there. I didn't have any at home, and I wanted to see it.
So I was on a call with you guys, and my 90-year-old neighbor, I gave him a pair of glasses, and so he put them on, was just staring up at the sun, walking around his yard, and he got so dizzy, he went face down. Just...
This guy is such a, he's like a Mr. Magoo, just and always injuring himself.
We're on the call with you guys, and I turn my camera off. I'm like, oh, shit.
You ran out to take care of him.
I hope he's alive, yes. I went outside, and while I was out there, I grabbed his glasses off his face and looked up. Okay, thanks. That's cool.
He's in a ditch.
Yeah. But
we're just going to roll you over. Don't get up.
Yeah, Mike, just roll over. Anyway.
Was he so drunk was he just old?
He's really old. He's really just frail.
I did love how, like, the moment it started as I was walking down to the daycare, like, you know, because the shadows become longer once it starts, and you just start seeing all the birds start doing their nighttime chirps and the crickets. Right. And it's cool how the animal, I don't know, like, I'm kind of fascinated about that animals are too stupid to realize, like, is there any part of their brain that was like, Jesus, I just got my day started, you know, and like now this is happening, you know, or are they just like, oh, yep, here we go, you know?
I never have a cup of coffee this late in the day.
Like my kids always fight when I try to get them down to bed. They're always like, what? I'm not even tired. Like, are these birds trying to, you know, the crickets trying to get their kids to bed and, you know, and I'm wide awake here.
Well, I know our high school that my son goes to. They had like an outdoor assembly where they gave all the kids classes.
Oh, that's cool.
They stopped school.
I feel you should. I think it's great practical science to.
Well, the last time it did, was it 2017?
Yeah, something like that.
Like they did nothing. So everyone just took their kids out of school.
Yeah.
Oh.
So they learned that, okay, instead of parents taking their kids out of school, let's just have an assembly so the kids can experience
plan an
it.
Event, do something around it. Yeah, that makes sense. Right. Dan, what did you do?
I was in my driveway, and I took about...
I saw you posted you had some good nice pictures. Photo.
Yeah.
I posted about 800... Well, I took about 800 pictures, and they were all pretty much all the same. So
was there no,
pared it down to about 10.
Was there no part of you that wanted to go to totality?
No, not really.
Oh, okay.
I mean, maybe just a tiny sliver, but...
I mean, Indianapolis is nice this time of year.
I got really bummed out. When was the last one? 2017?
Yeah,
Yeah, I got all my equipment ready, all my camera. I was going to do a time lapse with the GoPro, and it was a cloudy day, and it really ruined me for this one. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah, that's too bad.
But I did, you know, eventually get out there, and I had still had my rig from the 2017 and popped it on the camera and snapped a few. But
was it just a filter that you'd put
yeah,
on?
Yeah, it's the same kind of material that the glasses are made out of, only sure. I got a sheet of it and made a lens hood.
So. Yeah. Were we in the totality in 2017?
No, were not. It was about the same, really.
Okay, yeah, because I remember it being about the same, and then I was like, well, is the totality not as impressive as I have it in my head? Like, it doesn't become night black, right? Like, there's
it does
still...
it does down it did downstate,
oh,
right?
It does.
Steve?
Okay. Yeah.
It actually goes from pretty damn dark to this weird sunsetty moment.
Yeah.
Like,
okay.
Like we're describing in it, and I mean, there are pictures you can see, but the, you know,
I never trust,
the glowing,
like, I'm
ring.
Like, is that what it really looks like to the naked eye? I feel like people run so many filters that I don't know, you know.
Jen's mentioned that they saw whatever the hydrogen, you know, sunburst thing coming off the bottom of,
oh, that's cool,
you know, the circle.
Right.
And they were like, what's that pink thing? And that's what it was. It was this sort of, you know, seeing mm-hmm. what's actually going on, because you can't see the sun because it's so freaking bright. You just got that halo. And it was very cool.
Isn't that how Einstein's theory of relativity was practically proven, was in a solar eclipse, I think? Like,
I don't know.
Yeah, like, they had no way to test that. But he was, I believe this is true. He said, well, if my theory's correct, we'll see that gravity bends light. So the next time there's a solar eclipse, we'll see an effect around the moon that is caused by the moon's gravitational well and bending the light. And they saw it, and they're like, oh, yeah, Einstein. Now it's been practically proven that Einstein was correct.
Interesting.
I'm like, well, maybe not 90. I'm pretty sure that's true.
I like how you've sort of tempered yourself, because this is one of those things that
you know, that's what I miss
absolutely correct.
That's what I miss most so far about not drinking is my loss of confidence when I'm saying stats. Like, I used to have no hesitation. No.
100% true. 100%. Yeah, I miss that
yeah,
guy too.
Yeah, me too. Well, I just got to relearn how to do it sober.
Yeah.
Well, that you know, was one of these events. And then... everybody's talking about Saturday Night Live again. Are they better, or is it just, no, it was, what's his name, Ryan Gosling, and therefore we're going to be happy with
him? They've really, I think, stepped it up in the last season.
I want your opinion on this.
Yeah, I want to hear
this. I don't really watch it regularly. I'm usually busy when it happens.
Oh, I watch the next day.
I will hear from many friends who do watch it regularly that this current season and the last couple have been really strong.
Yes. All right.
Yeah. So I've heard that from a lot of people.
Yeah. And I started watching this morning when I was awake at 2 a.m. and I fell asleep. But I saw a couple of the skits, and they're really friggin' funny.
It's nice to see, like, the silly, funny ones go viral. Like, I think one of the reasons why we perceive Saturday Night Live as sucking, in my opinion at least, is the ones that always go viral is the cold open political one, which I always think is weak, just Trump bashing and not particularly well written.
So this week, the cold open, they brought back a skit that they've done a few times before.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still freaking hilarious.
The alien abduction
where they have
With the Gosling? That's one of my favorite skits of all time.
They did it again this
what's
week.
What's her name?
Kate McKenna.
She's
Kate
so McKenna. Funny. Oh, you must have had the A-team.
Exactly.
I was dealing with the B-team. You know?
Yeah, she's like, yeah, you had a different experience than I did. On
yeah,
those
that's
stages.
So
oh,
funny.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
And I watched this morning. It's hilarious.
They took it up another notch with her between Ryan Gosling's legs talking about
I'll have to check that out. That's one of my favorite. That's like one of my top 10 sketches of all time.
It is,
I think,
really,
it's so funny. Yeah,
it's good. Yeah,
it is pretty good. I appreciated that sketch in particular. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen the whole thing.
I haven't either.
That's the other thing. Like, in the age of social media, they post almost all of their stuff, like, almost immediately after the show. Right. And how do they do that? Is that a conscious thing that they're doing okay enough as a broadcast thing that it's fair to do that? Or, like, they're giving away their stuff, right? Or are they making money on that, too?
I guess they feel they make enough money off the ads to justify it, right?
In the social space.
Yeah, and maybe they feel there's, like, a multiplier effect. Like, the more things go viral, the more people who tune in for the TV show.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, they had it the next day, like, out on online. Like,
oh, yeah.
Sunday morning, everywhere on the internet. But, like, when it comes to, like, John Oliver, he takes, like, a couple weeks to post his shows, usually, I find.
I wonder if that's just contractual.
You know,
HBO.
It could be HBO
or whatever.
I think it's also HBO's more of a subscription model.
Yeah,
right.
And they're like, we don't want to give away anything for free if we can avoid it.
Yeah. You
know? Well, he has a Twitter or some channel that I follow.
Did you see it? It's comedic enough that it isn't so political. We don't have to get into it. But did we talk about the contract he offered Clarence Thomas?
Oh, yeah. I don't know if we did.
I don't know if we talked about that, but that was kind of... I was with... the night he announced it, I was with the guy that opens for him, and he was explaining how John Oliver privately was like, I will have to work a lot harder than I was ever planning to if he actually takes me up on this. You know, because he told Clarence Thomas he would give him $1 million for the rest of his life if he just resigns from being a Supreme Court jurist.
Yeah, he'd like $1 million a year.
And it's a real contract. Like, he had lawyers brought up and everything.
And whatever the RV was that he...
He would buy him an RV because that's important to Clarence Thomas.
Yeah.
Travel.
Well, he didn't show up for work yesterday.
Maybe he did take him up on it.
Clarence didn't show up.
Yeah, he missed yesterday. Court for like the first time in a while yesterday.
Yeah. Wow. I think he was there today, though.
Wow.
I saw the news.
Big news. Not really.
That would be a hilarious fuck you to, like, Republicans if he did that. Like, if he didn't care about his conservative legacy or anything, he's like, I don't know, $1 million a year sounds pretty good. Fuck it. You know?
I'd take it. I'm in. Don't think John Oliver wants to give me $1 million a year. No, so what about you? Do you watch any of that?
We used to watch John Oliver a lot more. We don't have an HBO, whatever.
I don't subscribe to anything.
But one thing with John Oliver is, I mean, he is very funny, but but some of the topics are real downers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the Boeing one was like, I never want to fly again. Like, I never want to get an airplane ever again.
Yeah. So we don't catch everyone. We just like has already been mentioned for Saturday Night Live. Yeah, we catch the YouTubes.
Yeah, all the clips.
And it's
I think what I've seen of late has been good, but I don't know that I'd say it's that much better. I almost think they're bringing back a lot of their old people. Like, Kate McKinnon's been on a lot recently.
Well, DC last week when they had...
Kristen Wiig was on
last
recently.
Week with all the five-timer club.
Yeah, I didn't see it.
Oh, they had everyone. They had Jon Hamm. They had all these old people on the show. It was like Martin Short was there, and they did skits the entire time. It wasn't like they...
Oh, cool.
They did one skit, and then they left. They were in every skit entire night. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how the current team feels about some of this sort of bringing back the old folks. That's all. And your friend is Molly Kearney or whatever her name is. Do you connect with her at all?
We still talk from time to time. Molly gets so busy once they're filming that it's like kind of it's hard to talk regularly once SNL starts up, but.
I like how willing she is to literally just be like the old guy in a
sketch. Oh, yeah. it's hilarious.
She's pretty willing to do
anything. Yeah, Molly's hilarious.
Good stuff. Well, I don't know if you guys have any work stuff, any technology stuff that you wanted to bring up. You know, we're in the throes of yet another one of these migrations. Dan, your group, and you in particular. So you work for one of the government accounts, and we've gotten in trouble apparently because you are presenting as like the wrong organization now. Did you even know that this was going on?
No.
No, you had no idea. Yeah. I had a feeling. I was like, what are they talking about here? Oh, I know what group this is. Oh, Dan's a part of that. I wonder if he's on the list. Yep. Sure enough, you were on the list of people that should not go to business with our client under this brand. And it was news to me. I was like, oh, that's kind of fun. How did we miss that one? You know how we had some exemptions to our program?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So Dan's a celebrity
in the mix. I thought we were presented that way because our sister co had.
You're not allowed to be because our sister co used that brand. And yet you were like not included in the list of exemptions. So you and a bunch of people were sending out as the brand that is competitive to the opposite company. And that's why we can't do that. So we'll talk about it offline.
It's such a great, I love the solutions though. They're like, oh, just change the address, you know, not any of the underlying relationships and conflicts, you know, but just change the address.
When this all came up, I remember telling them, guys, business operates, right? You're going to give us a list of how many is it? It's 50 names. Okay. New person's going to come on. You're going to bring another group. But what's the operational model around this?
Yeah.
And they had no plan for it. Nope. And I think that's what it was.
Just don't send emails anymore, Dan.
Well, I hardly do. But the thing is I'm not 100% allocated to that account. Mm-hmm. So how am I supposed to present when I'm not?
Well, you click the little button and say, I want to send as this or I want to send as that. Nobody's ever going to do that. But
I didn't even know I had that option.
Yeah. And I don't know if you do. I'm just, that's what we've done for other groups where you actually have a send as option.
You got to put a top hat on while you're doing it. And, you know, full transformation.
So our next wave of the operation is kicked off. You probably didn't hear that, but today everybody was panicking over 125 people that are not really operating the way that they were supposed to.
Oh, okay.
So it'll be crazy around here for the next 3-4 months.
There also seems to be a lot. I get logged off all the time now. Is that Dan's fault?
It's Dion.
Yeah. Dion's fault.
This is a good day to bring that up. Because he gets very defensive when you bring it up around him.
The Okta thing?
Yeah.
I was in the middle of typing something, and it was just like, oh, you're out.
Yep.
It's like, I signed in just the other day. It's supposed to last a week.
Nope. In 0365?
Yeah.
All right. Well, they don't last a week anymore. They only last 24 hours. Okta, or excuse me, 0365 is actually very, very good at basically not listening to Okta and letting you stay there longer. But if Okta had its druthers, that would happen to you at least once a day.
Yes. Come on.
So every time I'm in the office.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir, buddy.
And it's every not time Okta, it's
I
policy.
Show my phone to Dion. Yeah. I go, Dion.
Yep.
You see this? I verified it. Stop doing it to me.
It's not him.
I know.
It's not the technology. The technology enables it, but it's policy. Well, hopefully we'll get some better, like passwords will maybe go away because changing passwords and the passwordless world and all the things, all the vision of what's the art of the possible through technology. And it will be a little bit more sane. And it'll only happen to people who are finance people and, you know, the folks who have access to stuff that we should protect better than we do. So we'll see how that goes. But I feel bad for Dion not being able to defend himself here.
I did mention a couple weeks ago that my laptop connects to the Cisco VPN all the time on its own.
Okay.
Remember talking about this? But it's whenever I change networks. I'm finding out. It connects to the VPN.
Oh, that's pretty common. Most VPN clients can't switch.
And I've turned off the agent that runs in the background.
You've turned off the agent and it still does that?
Correct.
It does. That's interesting. That might be worrisome.
Yes. It sounds a little... Yes. It's AI. Don't worry about it.
Somebody is harvesting our directory from your laptop. And I got to reestablish this connection to Korea.
Yeah, that reminds me of a story I'll have to tell you guys later. Has anybody tried to log into the new Wi-Fi network?
I haven't, but don't let me forget before I need to leave. I need to not only do it, I need to call 911 on it.
Oh,
Dan, this is a funny story. So I've been helping a team test 933. 911, and then 933 is the test you call, you know.
Okay.
And two funny things about this. A, I'm like, I posted this one to Slack in one channel, but I'm like, you guys realize this is bullshit, right? I mean, like, to the team that's doing it. They're like, well, you never know. You know, I'm like, no one's going to call 911 through Teams. Like, you know, that will never be your default tel provider for an emergency service. Like, you never know, you know. It might happen all the time. And I'm like, all right. You know, and they were having me screen share. I'm like, let's pretend I'm on fire. I open up Teams. It says, I need to download an update. And, immediately logs me out. Takes a half hour to download.
Now you're Okta.
Takes a half hour. Go back in. Okta. It takes, like, and I show him my phone because it takes, like, I feel like, I don't know if it's our Okta instance or what. It takes, like, a good 15 seconds to get the MFA and to verify for me lately.
Really?
Like, yes.
I haven't had that.
I have a theory about what it is. Are you using WPP?
Yeah.
I think it's LDAP based. I think they have a flaw when they go to an LDAP directory.
But I do both. So I have.
You don't
both.
See it on Wonderman Thompson. Okay. No. Well, then there goes my theory.
What I? I'm sorry. Keep going. I'm
well,
sorry.
Yeah. So then I finally get through. And then I call. This is the hilarious part. This is a feature I didn't know that was added. When you call 911, it adds the emergency contact for the building to the current call. Like, it dials them in. So then Chris Sargent is being added to my 911 call. And I didn't give him a heads up, but I didn't know it. So he's just like, hello, and they're like, 911, what's your emergency? And he's like, what's going on here, you know?
He thought the office was, like, falling down or something.
Yeah.
Should have a Sharon as the emergency contact for office.
I don't, I'm using the Edge browser on my Linux desktop, and it doesn't give me the option of defaulting to, the push notification. It prompts yet again and says, do you want to have a push notification sent or do you want, you know, enter a code? And it's like
every time in the same browser.
Every time.
That's interesting.
You know, and I'm using a Microsoft product and it's the experience goes way down.
That was a.
Are you sure that's not a configuration on your Okta setup? Is that the only time you see that?
Only on the Edge.
No, I can tell you for a fact it's not there because I voted for on the Okta roadmap. I was only allowed one vote, and that's what I voted for, that they should store that on the Okta object because their browsers never remember it. So whenever you're in a new browser, but if you're in the same browser, it should be remembering it. So that's interesting.
Yeah. Well, I. Some of us may have eaten, some of us may not. This is what, when in the podcast, when I say I'm hungry and it's time to end the podcast.
Have you guys talked about this SSH bug that Sean popped on the...
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting one.
That was some
deep... I think it's China.
It's state sponsored, whatever it is. I mean...
This is the article that you posted.
I posted. I don't think we talked about it on the podcast, but basically they did. It's a full-on intelligence operation. They set up like a puppet account that did actual contribution to multiple projects to kind of like gain a sort of reputation over the course of 2 years.
Wow.
So that this account could then be trusted to work on the SSH project. And the account was like, oh, yeah, you know, I did this improvement and that improvement. And the owner just trusted them at that point in time.
Well, and the owner was like, you know, sick or he had to walk away from the project. And he was looking, you know, he's soliciting, hey, I won't be able to maintain this for quite a while. Any takers? And it sat for a while. And then, it's just, I'll take it over. Yeah. And this thing that had like no updates for, you know, months or weeks and months suddenly was getting
lots of
updates. Yeah. Very suspicious. But it, because it's such a tiny part, it was hard, you know, that hardly anybody used. It was just a little like a toe in the door to build.
Interesting. Very interesting. Scary. Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing how many critical systems run on a free piece of software that some dude created 30 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, and his life has moved on, you know, and
well, there was the whole thread today, somebody asking about, you know, package management and, you know, what do people use and and, you know, homebrew. Everybody is homebrew. And it's like, yeah, that has vulnerabilities, and they all have vulnerabilities.
They all do.
But, you know, they're built by individuals and then kind of grow through the open source world. Yeah. And yeah, who's vetting them? And it's an interesting conundrum that we have in our tech space.
And nobody kind of wants to fix it because we make a ton of money off this.
Yeah.
You know, the
fact
that it's free, it's like water as far as we're concerned. Remember the heartbeat? Bug that we all had to fit. We had to patch every Linux server, was an open SSL bug. And everyone was like, how could you have this? And he's like, this bug, I wrote this thing in my dorm in Stanford in 1987. The bug's been there from day one. I haven't made a dime off this. You know, it's not my fault the internet runs on it, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's too funny. All right, well, we have been the Worldwide IT Guys. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next time. Bye.
See you. Later.